Grace and peace, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Reconciled to God, where our focus is on our reconciliation to our Heavenly Father through His only begotten Son, His Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The title of our teaching today is a continuation from the last teaching. And the teaching today is the Ten Commandments. So let us start by going into the book of Matthew chapter 22, and we are going to be reading from verse 34, and we'll stop at verse 40. So I read, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for pointing us to the source, and that is the Lord God Almighty. And that in order for us to truly please Him, we have to love Him. And that love is what we have in our hearts, in our soul, and in our mind. So it is important for us to understand this, to call on the Holy Spirit to help us to understand this great commandment, to enable us to walk in righteousness. My prayer is that we cultivate the inner attitude of the heart desired by our Heavenly Father. Also, let us resist the trappings of living an outward show of self-righteousness. Now onto the Ten Commandments. Let us go into the book of Exodus chapter 20. We are going to be reading from the first verse to verse 17. I read, "Then God spoke all these words, 'I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery.'" The first commandment: "You shall have no other gods before me." So the first commandment is Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. I repeat, Exodus 20, verse 3: "You shall have no other gods before me." Brothers and sisters, this should cause us to examine ourselves. Have we raised any small g gods above our Heavenly Father, our Creator? Remember in the book of Luke 16, verse 13, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." It is impossible. Brothers and sisters, I call on each and every one of us to search our hearts, our mind, to ensure that we have not lifted any small g gods above our Heavenly Father. The second commandment, that is Exodus 20, verse 4. "You shall not make for yourself any idol or any likeness, that is form or manifestation, of what is in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth, as an object to worship." Brothers and sisters, we're in the position of examination. With the second commandment, Let us search ourselves. Are we praying before an image made with hands, with human hands? Are you worshiping a painting? Are you worshiping a carved image? Brothers and sisters, let us take action to ensure we are doing God's will. A continuation of the second commandment is that you shall not worship them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, demanding what is rightfully and uniquely mine, visiting, that is, avenging the iniquity. Iniquity is sin of the fathers on the children, that is, calling the children to account for the sins of their fathers, to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. We see here, brothers and sisters, that you cannot love God and break and not honor his commandments. The third commandment: you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold guiltless nor leave unpunished the one who takes his name in vain, disregarding the reverence and its power. There's power in the name of the Lord our God. The book of Daniel 2:20 says, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." Also in Psalm 69:30, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving." Proverbs 18:10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runneth into it and is safe." Brothers and sisters, we cannot disrespect the name of our God, because his name is a strong tower. The fourth commandment: remember the Sabbath, that is the seventh day, to keep it holy, meaning to set apart, you know, dedicated to God. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On that day you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or temporary resident who stays within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Brothers and sisters, it is clearly written, we have to keep the Sabbath day holy. It is a commandment. We can't choose and pick the commandments that we want to obey. Jesus Christ is the Sabbath, yes. So that is why on that day we need to set aside to spend time with Christ, to rest in Christ. But we cannot choose and pick the commandments that we want to obey. We have to obey all the commandments, and that includes the Sabbath day. Brothers and sisters, I think we have to humble ourselves before God and ask God to teach us on how to keep his Sabbath, on how to keep it holy. because we do not want to fall into the trappings of self-righteousness. So, brothers and sisters, let us humble ourselves. If we do not know or understand the significance of the Sabbath or how to keep the Sabbath, let us call on God and He will direct our path. Let us not lean on our own understanding. Let us acknowledge the Most High God and He will direct our path. So, brothers and sisters, the Sabbath is a commandment that we have been called to obey. The fifth commandment is honor your father and mother so that your days may be prolonged in the land the Lord your God gives you. My prayer is that God blesses each and every one of us with godly parents, because that makes it a delight and easy to honor them. But that should not stop us from honoring our parents, even when they are not walking in the way of the Lord. Let us call on the help of the Holy Spirit to help us manage relationships with our parents that are challenging. Let us go into the book of Ephesians 6, where Paul discusses family relationships. I'll start from verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That is, accept their guidance and discipline as His representatives. For this is right. For obedience teaches wisdom and self-discipline. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor be showing favoritism or indifference to any of them, but bring them up tenderly with loving kindness in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, my prayer is that we are all blessed with godly families. Amen. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Let us go into the book of Matthew chapter 5, and we'll read from 21 to 22. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka. Raka means empty head. Shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Brothers and sisters, we see here that the judgment for killing is not limited to those who physically kill. Brothers and sisters, let us examine ourselves. How do we hold on to each other in our hearts? Are we angry at others who have done nothing to us? Are we envious? Are we jealous? Are we giving life or death by what we say to others and about others? If we go into the book of Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So we see that we can actually kill others by what we say in front of them and behind them. Also, if we go into the second part of Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So are we bringing healing unto others by what we say, or are we causing injury that leads to death? So brothers and sisters, let us examine ourselves, because killing is not just left to the criminal who uses a gun, a physical weapon to take the life of another. But spiritually, we can kill others. So I pray that the Lord God will convict us, His Holy Spirit will convict us to turn away from our sin of tale-bearing, our sin of participating in gossip, our sin of just a wickedness, you know, bearing false witness. So I pray that the Lord God will help us to walk in His righteousness and to truly love our neighbors as we love ourselves, because we would not love for someone to do harm unto us. So let us not do harm unto others, whether they are aware of it or not. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Adultery is the sexual relationship between a married man or woman and someone else that isn't their legal spouse. But let us go into the scriptures and see what Jesus Christ says about adultery. The book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, it says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Also, in the book of Proverbs 6, verse 25, it says, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. This goes for both men and women. Okay, so we see that lusting after another in our heart, that is adultery. Also, if we go into the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. So brothers and sisters, let us examine ourselves. What are those inconspicuous things that we do on a daily basis that promotes lust? Is it that music we are listening to? Is it that novel we are reading? Is it that movie we are watching? Is it that painting we are staring at? Is it that individual we are engaging? I love what Apostle Paul says about this particular topic, adultery. Let's go into the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll start from 18. It says, run away from sexual immorality. Adultery is basically sexual immorality. It covers all sexual immorality. All sexual immorality, they all fall under adultery. It says, run away from sexual immorality in any form, whether thought or behavior, whether visual or written. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the one who is sexually immoral sins against his body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you, whom you have received as a gift from God, and that you are not your own property? Brothers and sisters, Let us not fall into the trappings of this world. Do not go by the standard of this world as it relates to sexual immorality. The standards of God are very high. It starts from the heart. So, brothers and sisters, I call on you to rely on the Most High God to deliver you from the stronghold of sexual immorality. Let's go into the book of 2 Corinthians 10, and we'll read from verse 4. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." 8th commandment, thou shalt not steal. That includes secretly, openly, fraudulently, or through carelessness. Let's see what the scriptures says about stealing. What I love about these scriptures is that it covers the different forms of stealing. So let's start from the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 1. "A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." And then let's go into Proverbs 16, verse 8. "Better is a little with righteousness than great income gained with injustice." So we see now false balance is stealing. Income gained through injustice is stealing. Let's look at some more. Let's go into the book of Proverbs 21, verse 6. "The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death." And finally, Proverbs 22, verse 16. "He who oppresses or exploits the poor to get more for himself, or who gives to the rich to gain influence and favor, will only come to poverty." So brothers and sisters, we can summarize stealing as when we make gains through the use of false balance, injustice, a lying tongue, deception, manipulation, oppressing or exploiting the poor. That is stealing. And examples I can give, favoritism is stealing, nepotism is stealing, cheating is stealing. So my prayer is that we will examine ourselves with all that we are learning today and go before the Lord and confess with a broken and a contrite heart. And our Lord is just and faithful to forgive. The 9th commandment, you shall not testify falsely. That is lie, withhold, or manipulate the truth against your neighbor. That's any person, family, friends, colleagues, stranger. Let's see what the word says about bearing false witness. Let's go into the book of Proverbs, chapter 19, verse 9. "A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes lies will perish." Brothers and sisters, when we see perish, it does not mean physical death. But what is worse than physical death? Spiritual death. Because spiritual death means we are separated from God. Brothers and sisters, let us stay reconciled to our Heavenly Father. Let us also go into the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 15. Let's see what it also says about bearing false witness against our neighbor, brothers, sisters, friends, colleagues, strangers. It says, he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. All breaking all commandments is an abomination to the Lord. So I pray that we will resist the devil and not ever seek to bear false witness against another person. Now the 10th and the last of the commandment, that is found in Exodus 20 verse 17. So we've been reading from Exodus chapter 20 verse 1. So we are now at verse 17, which contains the last of the 10 commandments. I read, you shall not covet, that is, selfishly desire and attempt to acquire your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Let's see what Jesus Christ says about the sin of coveting. Let's go into the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, watch out and guard yourselves against every form of greed. For not even when one has an overflowing abundance does his life consist of, nor is it derived from his possessions. So we see that coveting is greed. As Christ has said here, that our life does not consist of the abundance of the things that we possess. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of the Lord shall not pass away. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything shall be added unto us. Brothers and sisters, I pray that we guard our hearts, we guard our eyes from greed, from wanting, from desiring what someone else has. Just remember always the first and great commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and spirit. And also love your neighbor as yourself. This is the commandment that covers all commandments. Brothers and sisters, my prayer is that our heart becomes good ground that receives the word of God, and that the word that we have received today yields fruit, bears fruit. Brothers and sisters, I pray after our examination of ourselves that we realize that we are in need of a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. He has taken on the penalty of our sins. He has paid the debt. So that is why I call on you to go before our Heavenly Father with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and acknowledge your wrongdoings and confess them. And I tell you, he's just and faithful to forgive. If you go into the book of 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he's not only going to forgive us, he's also going to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He's going to purify our hearts, cleanse our hands of all guilt, because that is what the enemy uses to keep us in bondage. We keep that secret. And then he uses that weapon of guilt to keep us in that vicious cycle of sin, because we commit one sin to cover up for the previous sin. So brothers and sisters, he who the Son has set free is free indeed. Jesus Christ has set us free from the bondage of sin. Let us take on this salvation, this gift of salvation. Let us receive it. So I pray, brothers and sisters, that we desire to serve the Lord our God in truth and in spirit. This is Reconciled to God. Bye for now.